This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello and welcome to this edition of LabCast. I'm Kevin Kane, and this week I'm continuing my conversation with Brian Carroll, the Executive Director of Revenue Optimization in Mech Labs. Last week, Brian and I began a conversation about B2B marketing success. This week, we're going to pick up where we left off. We had been talking about identifying leads, so my first question, Brian, is how do you actually qualify those leads once you've got them in place?
Well, that's a great question, because what our research has shown is between 5 to 15% of marketing-generated leads are qualified in fitting the universal lead definition. So you need to be asking yourself, what am I going to do with that 95% or that 80 to 95% of leads that aren't qualified? And this is where I think there's huge opportunities around lead nurturing. And what that's about is having an ongoing, relevant dialogue with viable potential customers regardless of their timing to buy. So your question is this: lead nurturing is taking people who are interested. They may be interested in your content you offered. You may have offered an ebook or a white paper or a webinar, whatever the case may be. That person was interested in the content. It doesn't mean they're ready to talk to your sales team yet. And so what I think we need to be doing is really looking at understanding how our customers buy. When you talked about personas, personas are really helpful in this process because we need to understand our audience. But from there, it's then developing a messaging strategy with nurturing, which is of this focus. Your goal with nurturing is to help progress people from interest to purchase intent. This also connects with the sales team, because the biggest struggle I find with salespeople is they talk to someone, they know that they're a fit. It's not a question of if they could buy, it's more of a question of when. And so the struggle salespeople face, the same we're talking about with lead qualification, is what do I talk about next? And this is where content, having meaningful touches go out where you're sharing an email with an article, a blog post, using content as a valid business reason for the sales team to call and engage someone and share something of value is something, so that nurturing just doesn't happen until you get to a sales-ready lead. It happens after that, where the sales team needs tools and things to help them nurture that conversation forward too. So that's where I think marketers should put their attention next in terms of with lead qualification.
And are there certain pitfalls that you see people making or falling into in terms of nurturing programs? I mean, there must be too many touch points, or yeah, who knows what. What are your thoughts there?
Well, the biggest mistake I see is I really love what's been happening in the space with marketing automation. But I would say this is, if you take a mess and you automate it, all you get is an automated mess. You know, so with nurturing, What I see happening is the champion of nurturing right now is email. But what's missing, and I know that OpenView really has been strong advocates with partners and teaching, is around looking at nurturing and connecting that with the human touch. And that human touch often is going to happen through business development reps or a qualification team, an inside sales team, to advance that conversation. So what I would say is, the pitfall I see marketers do is they're doing batch and blast emails and nurturing. The other thing that I see is that they're sending out numerous irrelevant offers without having any measurement of engagement. And this is where lead scoring can help you prioritize where to make the human touch and won't replace it. You can't rely on just lead scoring to say this is going to give you a qualified lead, especially when you have a complex sale. But it can help you prioritize where a human being is going to reach out and interact, and using that data to know what's likely to be relevant to share with people. So I would say that there's three pitfalls. Not measuring what's happening with the content that's being shared and people blasting that out. Two is not really looking at, is what we're sharing relevant with our audience? And if you're not doing that, you're causing, with every touch, your future customer to emotionally unsubscribe. And so you need to have some way of measuring that. If no one's opening your email, or if they aren't clicking on it, and you see this pattern over a few months, they may not be engaging your content because it's no longer relevant for them. You need to figure that out. There's a lot of other things I could say, but I think that most marketers are beginning this idea of nurturing without a vision or a process in mind. And I really think the vision needs to be looking at how do we progress customers and understanding how they buy. Your sales team has that information, and they have it in looking at past sales they've had, who was involved in the process, the questions they asked, the resources that the customers are going through. And this is, again, going back to the alignment thing, is I would say your whole goal is to help support that person inside their company, bringing the idea in and realizing nurturing is doing this. It's helping. Most of the buying happens when a salesperson isn't talking to the customer. Your lead nurturing strategy really needs to be guided towards progression. And there's a whole, you and I could spend an hour just talking about content strategy and just be scratching the surface.
Sure.
So, but these are some of the big things I would say.
Well, that's really helpful, Brian. The last question is the softball of all of them, and that's just, how can our listeners get in touch with you or follow you online?
Okay. Well, there's several places I would say. I would encourage all your listeners to visit marketingsherpa.com. We have free newsletters, also marketingexperiments.com as well. We have $15 million of research that we publish for free they can access and draw from, and there's a newsletter there as well. And, you know, I would encourage listeners that they can also subscribe to the webinars and web clinics. We have lots of resources there that are freely available online. So finally, mechlabs.com, if they want just kind of a big picture view of who we are and the various things that we do.
Great, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us. This is really interesting.